Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. It's a gorgeous morning. Glad to see you here. Also, happy to have our WCNY radio audience. And for them, I'm going to say maybe we can get Mr. Ed Riley's PowerPoint up on our website so that they won't miss all of this, or else we'll refer them at least to the Hotel Syracuse website. But first, I want to say again, thanks, and to remind you that October is going to be a special month. Every month is special at the roundtable, right? But we have some special programs. We're starting out the month next week, though, with a talk by Larry Brinker, who is the head of the New Air Alliance, which has to do with unmanned aircraft systems and, you know, how we can develop policies that will ensure that this new technology is used appropriately and effectively. Then the second week, we are going to hear from Matt Driscoll, who is the New York State Commissioner of the New York State Department of Transportation, and that's going to sort of tie into the current OCL study. Then we're not going to meet the third Thursday, but we're going to meet the third Wednesday for our special TMR 50th anniversary Breakfast of Civic Champions. You all should have received an email invitation and a hard copy invitation. I want to stress that this is a celebration and also a fundraiser for the TMR Levi L. Smith Scholarship Fund, which many of you helped to start 25 years ago, a scholarship fund for part-time students at University College who pursue careers in public service or similar endeavors. So make sure everybody knows about this, not just people who have been at TMR before, but that is something that is open to the community at large. And I put some and our guest at that is going to be Charles Blow, the New York Times op-ed columnist. He's going to be speaking the night before with Ross Douthat at the University Lectures. So I just wanted to make another plug for that. For our breakfast, the registration deadline is October 5th, so just a couple weeks away. So without further ado, I'm excited about this, and I asked David Holder, the president of the Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau, because I thought he might be one of the most excited people in the community also to have the Hotel Syracuse, Marriott Syracuse coming online. So David Holder is going to introduce today's guest speaker. Careful.
Thanks, Sandra. Anybody who knows me, when I speak, I get a little excited anyway. But this particular topic makes me extremely excited. And I get the honor of introducing someone that many of you have already met, many of you already know. And if you haven't met, or if you don't already know Ed Riley, you definitely need to. Ed is probably the biggest face for creating transformation in our community with this project of anyone I can think of. He embodies the spirit of the new Syracuse. He is creating something from the past and bringing it to a brand new level in the future. Now Ed has tremendous amounts of hotel experience. He's been working in the hotel business, developing hotels, transforming hotels, rehabbing hotels, historic hotels, new hotels, all over the country. He hops on planes, he goes somewhere, he develops a new hotel, he comes home. Well, he lives here. He's a West Side guy. And one of the pet things that he's a special place in his heart is something we know as the Hotel Syracuse. The best thing I can tell you about Ed is a quote that I heard the other day from the company who's going to be managing this property. They said, "We work with hotel operators and developers all over the country. Ed knows his business. And when he says he's going to do something, he tells you it's going to be delivered on October 12th, you're going to see it delivered October 11th. This is a guy who makes things happen. And in the context of Syracuse and the brand that we're getting out there, Ed, come on up and do your thing.
Got to get the clicker, otherwise I'm in trouble here right off the bat. Thank you very much. Those are very kind words, and I'd like to personally thank everyone here because I've had just a tremendous amount of support from the community for this project. I mean, we all know what an icon this hotel is. We all have stories, we have memories. But the one thing that I totally underestimated was the interest and the commitment and the support that I've gotten to get this done across the board. From the state, the county, and the city working together, to the various agencies within the city and the county, to rushing things through to make them happen, to our bank, M&T, who initially thought I was a little crazy when I pitched the idea to them, but you just got to keep going, pushing the rock up the hill, as I say. All the way through to, you know, really Marriott coming in, to Crescent, and the like. So, you know, first of all, to all of you, thank you for your support on the project. Please continue it, because at the end of the day, the success of this project is not going to be fixing the bricks and mortar. The success is going to be you coming back down there to experience the hotel, to use the hotel, and create new memories. And in regard to that, I'd like to introduce our general manager now that we have on staff at the hotel. He'll be your host at his house, so to speak, down there, just 261 bedrooms, Paul McNeil. Paul is originally from the Buffalo area, so he's coming home. He spent 30 years with Marriott. He's been managing a hotel in Peabody up until recently, and we stole him away from there to, you know, no longer be a Patriots fan, but get him to back to the Bills country, which is what he's doing, which is good. And I've also pretty much indoctrinated him into SU and the Orange, and, you know, we think we're 3-0 because he's our lucky charm, so we're good with that, too. So how about the old girl, as I call her here, the Hotel Syracuse Restoration? We all remember the entrance, maybe not quite to this Citra, but the hotel basically at this point in time is undergoing a significant renovation, if you've seen the photographs. And we actually had some photographs taken yesterday of the hotel, so you'll be able to see literally almost real time what's going on. That canopy, this is on Warren Street, has been stripped to the original steel. We already have a contractor that's going to replicate everything you see there but the big Hotel Syracuse sign on the top. That was added a little bit after it opened. But all of our canopies, our marquees, will be restored back to the 1920s style. So the outside of the building is undergoing a significant renovation through here. This is a site plan of the building itself. This is the historic building. The 80s tower is here. The bridge used to go across here is now gone. And we're going through, and again, part of our cooperation is the entire area around the hotel is going to be re-landscaped and re-hardscaped. So your sense of entrance, your main entrance is going to occur right here off of East Onondaga Street, and that's where it used to be. I mean, that's the original main entrance of the hotel. It's where the main shot is. When you come in the stair, you look straight up, you see the main chandelier, and you also see our mural right in back of that. So we're restoring that sense of arrival to the hotel. But the other thing we're doing is we're improving all of East Onondaga Street in this corridor to be our front door. And that'll be a drop-off area for guests that come here. It'll be a drop-off area for you folks when you come there and to utilize the facility. The secondary entrance here on Warren Street will become that again. It'll be the second entrance and exit, primarily serving the convention center. As most of you know, we're designated as a headquarters hotel for the convention center. That was a big reason to do this project and put it together. And we'll be servicing the convention center, both in terms of giving them rooms, room blocks, and also working with the various agencies to make sure that the guest experience and people that are coming here have a first-class experience in this hotel. Along this area right here of Harrison Street is our delivery area, pretty much the way it has been. And we'll be upgrading the 80s addition, putting a new facade on it, and we've got some slides in there a little later to show that. So basically sprucing up, adding outdoor cafes at the prow of the building right here, and also at this corner so that you can sit outside during the summer and fall and spring and enjoy yourself a little bit, along with a fire pit and an accentuation right there at the end. So a little bit of urban stuff going on to really activate the area around the hotel. We want to make sure that people can come down there. All the food and beverage outlets are going to be located on the first floor. Some project facts, very quickly, if folks don't know it. It was built in 1922 to 1924. Those are the years. It had a tough life even back then. Construction was stopped. They had problems with financing, etc. The contractor put the ownership on COD for a while, so it took a little bit longer. But I would say this, that if we had to replicate this hotel today, we couldn't do it in 2 years. I mean, it's going to take us 2 years to renovate it, and most of the bones are still there. The project is approximately 473,000 square feet, just under 500,000. People don't realize that there's a couple areas in that building. It's a big building. It's 12 stories with a basement and a sub-basement. And if you haven't been in the basement, we call it the Titanic room. It's got three boilers, Citra 1920s, and one is still coal-fired. We have cleaned it up a little bit, but you're down about 32 to 34 feet below sidewalk level to go in there. So it's quite a place. The architect was George B. Post and Sons. George B. Post is a very noted architect, did quite a bit of work throughout the country for Statler Hotels. A sister to this hotel, almost identical on the outside, is the Statler in Buffalo. Taking pictures side by side, you'd be amazed at how much they look alike. It was the same contractor, same architect, same materials and builders over there. The original cost was $7 million for the hotel. And the original mortgage was $3.6 million. We've got those documents. We do have a time capsule on just about everything in the hotel, it seems. And we'll be putting in just a little bit over $71 million in renovations to this facility to get it up and running and put back together. So as you can see, times have changed. Prices have increased just a little bit. The 3.6 would probably just about cover our re-roofing costs. So I get rid of my Swiss cheese roof and get the water out of the place for a change. Some other project facts on this: originally opened with 610 rooms in the hotel, and we're talking just the historic building, not the tower across the way. Had one original ballroom. People think that the Persian Terrace was actually a ballroom. No, it started life as a supper club, and the hotel had a band that played there every night, and actually there was no walls between the lobby and the Persian Terrace. They were all added in the 30s when they converted it to that. Original restaurants had two. Again, the Persian Terrace was one, and it had the cafeteria. If folks remember, the cafeteria was down on the first floor, one of the most popular food venues for many years in Syracuse, and it, you know, survived well into the 60s as far as a venue that really made a lot of money for the hotel and a gathering place for a lot of people. After renovation, we're going to have 261 rooms or keys with 60 in the future. So half of the third floor and part of the second floor will be held in a state of shell, and we'll go from that point. Ballrooms will have three. We know about the two old ballrooms, the Grand Ballroom up on 10, and also the Persian Terrace will remain. And then we've got the third, which is the Imperial Ballroom, was built in the 80s, and that is being totally gutted and repositioned to be much more techie and more to today's type of use for businesses, et cetera, not so much for social catering. And we'll have three restaurants. We will have a sports bar, pub, name of Shaughnessy's, that'll be in one location on the first floor. We'll have a second three-meal restaurant, which we call 11 Waters. 11 Waters is after the 11 Finger Lakes, and we will basically showcase New York State wines. We really want to take the Finger Lakes and build that into here. A big core part of that, a big core part of our mission is to have as much of this done as possible locally, and to also showcase local good and products. So even to the point where Cheryl Manufacturing is doing our silverware, and we have a tremendous partnership with Stickley. You'll see some of the furniture that Stickley has co-designed with us and constructed for the project. People, I don't think, realize Stickley Furniture was there in 1924 when the hotel opened, and they wanted to very much be a part of it to the reopening, so they're involved. And Greg Harden with Harden has also taken some of our older chairs that were have on three legs instead of four, and they were really bad, and he said, he took two of them with him, and he says, you won't recognize these when I bring them back in 2 weeks. He brought them back, and I didn't recognize them. Even better, we can sit in them now, too, which is a lot better, I can tell you that. This is the plan of the first floor. Very quickly, we talked a little bit about it. This is the three-meal restaurant, 11 Waters, and this, as I said, this whole corner area, the prow of the building, will be activated for an outdoor cafe. The main entrance will be right in this location up the main stairs, right into check-in. This is our conference center, which will be to IAC level standards. There's 8 meeting rooms there, different sizes, so that groups can come in. If they have a business meeting, they need a lot of technology, that's where they'll come in. They'll have their own entrance in this location. And next to that is the old Rainbow Lounge. The Rainbow Lounge will not be open to the public, per se. It'll be open for events that people reserve it for. So it'll service the IAC areas, it'll service the Imperial Ballroom upstairs, and it'll also be a greeting for, you know, groups such as this that want to come in, sit down, and either have an event or have a breakfast there. This is back of the house areas in this location here, and then this is our community room. Again, part of our mission statement is to give back to the community. This hotel was originally built by the community in the 1920s. The leaders of Syracuse came together and said, we need a first-class hotel to say to the world, hey, we're on the stage here. We, you know, we're a real city. We know what's going on. They got together, put the original seed money in, and then sold stock certificates to the community. And it was owned as a community hotel into the 60s. And it was very successful. There was quite a few articles written on it through the years that I've read back in the 30s and 40s about community hotels and how successful the Hotel Syracuse was doing. So we're sort of returning it to its roots, even though we have a private team that's going to own it. From our aspect, we look at it, we're no more than caretakers. This is the community's asset. That's what we look at. That's how we position it. And that's how we make decisions as we go forward, is what's best for the community and how we engage the community into the process. This corner right here is Shaughnessy's. That's our sports bar and pub. Irish flair, I might have something to do with that. Actually, the name comes from one of my first Irish setters. So he was one of the few dogs I knew that would drink on a regular basis. You know, I'm not saying water, so we figured it was there. Our grab and go will be located right here, and that's Freedom of Espresso. You know, we decided to, again, keep local and to showcase local companies, so we're bringing them into our world and saying, okay, rather than go out to a Starbucks or something, we want local here, and we talked to the local coffee folks. They're fortunate enough, and they were willing to go with us and commit, so we're there. This is the infamous bridge. As it used to go with Syracuse Square, and this is where the entrance will be, and this, of course, is our little shoot that we've had there since January. People don't realize we've actually been tearing this old girl apart for, you know, almost a year now, we just started putting it back together. So we're trying to find out right now just how many tons of debris we've taken out, construction debris. The building is really built very solid, so we're trying to get that. We may put it up on our website as a contest. Guess how much weight we took out of the building. This is the demolition starting along the facade of the hotel itself. And this is basically very close to what it looks like today. The bridge is gone. The hole that you see right here, all the terracotta is being cast for this. And we're going to tent this over the winter and rebuild it. So when the tent comes off prior to opening, you'll have the new entrance, the new canopy, and the facade restored back to the 1920s. The various items that you see here for the supports for the scaffolding, that's our masons that are currently up. They're going to be doing some repair work on the parapets. We took down the statuettes. They came down. They're going on vacation permanently. And we're actually having them digitized and a mold made, and they'll go back up, replicated as FRP. One of those little statues, it's about 6 foot high. Really, they need to go on a little bit of a diet. They were over 3,000 pounds. So we wanted to make sure that we put some little lighter up there just in case they want to take a fly at some point and come off. And this is, again, the outside of the building is being restored. And all the windows are also being either restored in place or new windows are being replicated by Marvin throughout the building itself. This is the main level, lobby level, which is one story above. The lobby itself is going to be totally restored back to its original configuration. There was a wall that was built here. There was a mezzanine extension in this area that basically bifurcated the lobby, the old lobby, into two pieces. And a lot of people don't realize that it used to go all the way to the corner and to the prow at this location. So we're going to be bringing that back. The Cavalier Club will be our lobby bar, and we're also utilizing some of the Carl Roeder's paintings that we have. They're currently in Skinny Atlas being restored. And again, local, trying to get you know, fold back in with this. And those paintings are, we find them to be very whimsical, very Dali-esque, and they're of chess pieces fighting. So that's, we're building the story of the hotel and of the lounge around that. The Imperial Ballroom is located in this location, as I said before, up here. The 80s edition is being repositioned and redone. So that'll be our third and more business-oriented ballroom. And this is the Persian Terrace. And we'll show some photographs on that. The Persian Terrace is actually the first room that's going under restoration right now. The restoration contractors are in there. All of our chandeliers went on vacation yesterday. They're going to a spa, and they're going to be totally reconditioned and brought back. They needed it. A lot of the wires were now bare copper. And we brought those down, and I saw the truck leave last night. They'll be back in about 6 months or less, all basically rebuilt, but not totally brought back and repainted. A lot of the original painting and a lot of the original patina is on these fixtures. So the artists, and they are artists, are going to restore the finish, not totally redo the finish on all these chandeliers throughout the building, which they were telling me are quite unique. There isn't many of those around or were ever used at that point, so they got a good value to them. This is a picture of the lobby, Citra, I think, probably 1930s, 1940s, and we're working with Stickley to get some of these main pieces that you see right here replicated. Obviously, a lot are gone. And also, the architecture that you see, this type of ceiling system that's multicolored. This is actually a maroon to a tan. This is all looks like carved wood. It's all been painted white. It's all plaster. And we're going back and restoring that back to the 1920s colors. So that'll all be a very colorful roof, also looking like carved wood. The chandeliers, as I said, they're at the spa being taken care of. They're coming back. And this is how the lobby will pretty much look. Some of the furniture will be more contemporary, more modern, obviously, but we're also playing off on some of the stuff that's a little bit older. And this is our check-in desk. Right now, the mirrors are gone, the desk is gone, and you know, we're in the process of restoring and putting these floors back in, the terrazzo floors that you see. We've had some restoration people in to do that, and the floors are absolutely magnificent. Why you'd cover them up with carpets, I don't know, but they did at that point. This is the mural. This is when it was first, you know, exposed and put in place, I guess you would say. And this is the check-in desk, and our check-in desk will look more like this. The check-in desk was not wood. This is all stone, same stone that's used throughout the property. This is the purple marble that we have. This is the beige marble that goes in throughout the rest of the building. And then there was at the top, this again was basically plaster castings that were painted to look like wood. And we'll be replicating that, except in this case, we'll actually use wood instead of the plaster castings to get it done. This is taking off the mirrors in front of the check-in desk to expose our mural. And this is the Karl Roeder's mural, which will be the centerpiece of the lobby. We'll have lighting on this to accentuate it. When you come up, you'll see it. It'll be drawing you into the lobby itself through the main stairs. And it's in remarkably good shape. Very little damage. The biggest issue that we have, and it's really not an issue, is just cleaning it. And as with everything in the hotel that was buried or basically covered or was out for a while, the biggest stain that we have is tobacco stains. Absolutely. How times change, right? This is what the lobby was under demolition. As you can see, the wall is starting to come out. This is the mezzanine that they built at one point for offices above and below. And that's all now been taken out. And that's what the lobby looks like today. And you can see the original ceiling in this location is still intact. All they did was put a drop ceiling underneath it. So we don't have to guess very much in terms of what we're restoring. A lot of the colors, a lot of the fabric, a lot of the texture of the building is all intact. So all we need to do is expose it, and do an analysis of it and a cleaning, and then we know what the colors are going to be. The restoration artist has been in this week, and she'll be here again next week, and she's doing mock-up panels of the ceiling in this location over here, in this whole column, so we look at all the pieces, how they go together. She's also done the mock-up panels in the Persian Terrace, and she'll be moving to the Grand Ballroom. And once those are established and we've reviewed and approved them, then we'll continue with that throughout the rest of the project. This is the Persian Terrace, and this is when it was a supper club. You can see the bandstand here with the S on them, and this has the mural. The mural is going to be a little difficult for us to expose. It's got two coats of white oil-based paint on it, and then it's got vinyl wall covering over that. There is a way to do it. We are going to test some areas, but this one's going to be a tough go for us. But the good news is the whole ceiling that you see here, which again is a faux wood, it's all plaster, but it's painted to look like carved wood, is going to be restored. And that's what we're working on right now, along with the hand paintings that you see in the medallions throughout the space. So this is pretty much what you see from this point all the way up is going to be what the new type of room will look like with the lighting in it. In the restoration, and you can see that the columns here are all a faux marble. They're all being restored to the same type of finish throughout. We will keep the partitions here, but this will be an opaque partition in this location with doors. Over the actual stage, we're going to have glass. So when the room is open and you're not worried about light control, you'll be able to look through the glass, still have sound control, but you'll be able to see the main chandelier at the entrance on Warren Street and how the two rooms play together. So it's something we wanted to do to sort of tip our hat to it. And this also has the same herringbone dance floor that's up on the Grand Ballroom up on 10, and we're restoring that also. We're peeling off the old parquet and putting that together. And this has a absolutely beautiful green terrazzo floor in it, a green and tan floor. We didn't realize it because it had been covered with carpet for so long. We took it off and restored it, and it was now we're rethinking the carpet issue because the floor really did come back so well. And this is how it looks today, a little stark, but as I said, it's been already turned over to our restoration contractors, and there they are. They're replastering the area in the back or the upper part of the room. And they're filling in all the old holes and various areas that were destroyed over the years. And they make all their molds and the like right on site. And this is literally yesterday. This is what's going on at the hotel yesterday. So he's making a mold of the top capital because we got two of them that are missing and one that's in really bad shape. So he'll make that mold in place. He'll cast it on site. They have a casting room. And then they'll put it back up. And it'll match identically what the other ones originally were. And this area right here, you can see where the ceiling was taken out. This is actually a piece of crown molding plaster here and here. This piece was missing. This was a piece that they cast and put in a couple weeks ago. And this is our test in terms of the color. So the artist went in and painted this piece to look like carved wood. I apologize for the photography, but again, this was yesterday, and it doesn't show as well, but it really does look like carved wood when she's done. This is a small piece, a test piece of what the crown mold will look like in the lobby area. They're a little bit different between the rooms. To give you an idea, from here to here, it's not quite the crown molding of your house. That's about 2 feet right there. So they're pretty heavy and pretty tough to get in. And you can see that even when they do this, this was cast off of an existing piece. All the leaf work and everything comes out identically to the way it was when it was originally installed. So we'll be restoring all that back, and then this will get a couple coats of varnish on it and go back up in place throughout the space. Thought I'd remind you of the rooms. What they used to look like. Pretty attractive, huh? Yeah, I know. Love the TV. When I first acquired the hotel and people would go through it on tours, I used to say, well, we give away parting gifts to people. I had 500 of these. I only got rid of about three, though. That was the problem. they worked. Believe it or not, they worked. Yeah. But even this room, the TV was even better here. We really thought that was good. So the rooms, what are we doing? Well, you know, this is a historic restoration. We're taking advantage of the tax credits. So when we sat down with the historic folks, the yellow that you see here, that is all the existing corridors, and they're all going to be restored to a historic level. So they're getting the moldings, they're getting, you know, period light fixtures, carpeting, etc., through there. And we've taken out the lower ceilings, we're moving all the utilities into the rooms on either side, so that's the original height, the original feel, what it would be like in the 1920s and 30s in those areas. The blue that you see are the rooms. And effectively what happens is everything from the corridor wall to the outside wall goes away. That's where all the stuff was coming down the chute and going out for the last 4 or 5 months. We're gutting that and having a new room product. So when you go in the room, it's going to look brand new, like a new Marriott hotel anywhere across the country. Well, not anywhere across the country. We got some pretty nice rooms, to tell you the truth. The only difference to this is in the corners from this point all the way around to here, all right, those were the suites in the building. and we're restoring those historically. So the rooms are going to be a little smaller, the bathrooms will be a little smaller, but they're going to be furnished with period fixtures of different times. And we're going to go like a 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Some of us would like to forget the 70s and 80s, but you know, from our standpoint, we'll have those, and we're tying that into the famous guests that were there. So, you know, we had a lot of presidents, we had a lot of rock stars, we had a lot of movie stars. We'd like to have pictures of those folks and tell the story of what these suites were and what they meant to the city and who the people were that were there. And this is a little bit of just a black and white of all the furniture being put in place. You can see there's a couple, two, three pieces of furniture that Stickley's going to be making for us. This is how the corridors looked back a few months ago. This is when we were starting to do demolition and pull the floors apart. We leave the corridor walls intact. We leave the marble at the base. This is all Carrara marble here and here, and also a little bit on the floor. We also leave all the doors in place, and I'll show you that in another slide. But Stickley is also refinishing all of our, as we say, their servidors. Technically, we call them here coffin lid doors. And you know, they're all going back. They're going to Stickley's plant. They're being stripped down, refinished, and they come back like a piece of furniture. So that's why I say our rooms are a little special across the way. And there's only about three other hotels that I'm aware of that still have the servidors in place. And if you don't know what the servidor is, it's a door within a door where a person could open their side up with a thumb turn, hang their clothes in the middle of the door because it's hollow, and then you'd call the porter. The porter would come upstairs with a key, unlock the corridor side, take your clothes out, bring it to, you know, valet or whatever you wanted done with it, bring it back up, take his key, open it again, or her key, put it in, hang it up, and then hit a button on the door saying it was back. And you'd get up in the morning, and your clothes would be ready for you the next day. And those doors were something that were in almost all Statler hotels across the country. They are historic. We're restoring them. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to get your clothes done that way, much as I'd like that myself. But, they will be fixed in place for sound purposes and the like. The other thing that was interesting about the doors here that were a little different than some other places is the hotel opened and they said it had central air conditioning. You got to love advertising. You just got to love it, you know, even that. So what they did is they did have a central system, but it only put air into the corridors and into the lobby and a couple of the larger rooms. To get conditioned air into your room, since there was really no openings from the corridor, there was a little button on the door. It said open and close, and there was a vent at the top and the bottom of this hollow door. Yeah, it's about so long and that high with no fan. But that's how you got the air in there and those things. So it was pretty ingenious. This is what we bring it down to as far as the rooms right here. You can see the steel. We don't have a lot of rolled sections, if you know about steel. This is all plate steel with rivets. It was done by Lackawanna Bridge and Iron in Buffalo and was brought in. This is a plan of the rooms, and we'll have a lot of doubles in this hotel. These are queen double beds with a pull-out couch in this location, side chair, and a brand-new bathroom. To give you an idea, these are the two doors from two rooms. So there used to be a wall that went all the way through here. And this was one room, and the bathroom was this right here, to give you an idea of what we were dealing with. And to let you know, none of the bathrooms had been significantly remodeled from 1924 until the day this closed. So it needed a little bit of a brush up in the bathrooms, I can tell you that. This is what the new bathroom looks like. This is the model room. We built two models in the hotel right now, and a little bit of a change from the old bathroom that was in there. And you can see the new vanity, the showers on the other side of this over here, and then a small compartment for the water closet in the back. But very roomy and very nice finishes. This piece right here was built by Stickley locally, so they're part of our partners here. And this is the King headboard. Obviously, the headboard wall right here. We took an old Smith Corona typewriter that we found, put that in the picture. We found a lot of interesting things in the hotel, various places. And this is the desk and the room itself. And we use period artwork to tell the story of our community, both in terms of the salt industry that was here, the canal, the railroads, etc. So we take that in the rooms and tell a story, and then in the corridors we tell the story of the hotel. We have a lot of old pictures of the hotel being built and of some of the people that stayed there and also some of the people that worked there. This is a queen bed. This shows again the TV unit with a flat screen TV, a smart TV. This will be technology to today's standards. Throughout, two queen beds. Excuse the skirts. We couldn't find them. We know they were delivered. Somebody took them. So somebody's got a couple nice queen bed skirts. We just don't know where they are these days. We'll get them back, and then our chair in the foreground. This gives you an idea of the size of the rooms. They're very roomy, and also the level of quality that you're going to have. And this is the other side, looking from the bed towards the couch. Again, local, we have a great partnership with OHA. They have graciously allowed us access to a lot of photographs and artwork. This is a piece of artwork that they have that we're copying and putting in the rooms, along with these photographs right here. And we are entering into a co-marketing agreement so that, you know, people that visit the hotel can actually come over and purchase some of those items. And from everything from small pieces of Syracuse china to photographs to coffee table books, etc. But it's a valuable relationship to us because we get to tell the story of the hotel through all their information and archives that they've kept for us. This is the 10th floor, which is really the, you know, really a gorgeous floor. This is the main or grand ballroom, which stays pretty much just the way it has stayed for the last 92 years. And we're restoring that. Those crystal chandeliers also went on vacation to the spa this week, and they're being totally cleaned, missing crystal put on them, and brought back, restored with new wiring. The cloth wiring's not doing it on there. On the 11th floor, which is part of this plan here, this area is actually originally was programmed to be a presidential bridal suite. We did demo work and we found out we have an absolutely beautiful space up there. It's 2.5 stories. It has steel trusses. It's got a huge open roof structure above it. So what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of our suite and we're going to put our third restaurant up here, which will be a steakhouse. And that way, you know, you'll be able to sit there. We're not going to put a ceiling in it. We're going to, you know, show it. Plus you get views of the city on three sides coming out. So we felt, let's not waste that space. Let's let people enjoy it and go through. This is our bridal and groom area. As you know, this hotel does tremendous bridal business and wedding business. And we want to keep that going. It's a big part of the memories. It's a big part of the hotel, the stories that we hear and people talk about it. So we've dedicated this area, you know, to the wedding party to utilize before they make their grand entrance down these stairs into the grand ballroom. So we're trying to play that. And this area will be a brand new presidential suite that will also be available to the bride and bridesmaids, along with our exercise facility and a spa and a salon. So as you can see, this entire top floor is really geared towards people experiencing it, using it, and being active, and not just being sort of a, you know, just if you can afford the suite, do you get the views and to be involved in it there. This is the grand ballroom, as I'm sure many people remember. What you see here is the original ceiling, which was painted in a blue sky cloud-type format, which we're restoring. We're bringing this back. These chandeliers, as I said, have left. All the wall sconces are original. They are also on vacation with the chandeliers. And these windows that you see along here are all being taken out and restored, or not restored, but really new windows are being put in, and they're being replicated by Marvin. They're being fabricated right now to go through. The door, all the floor itself will be refinished on this floor, and the only thing that will be different per se is that where the projection booth was back here, that's going away, and that's going to be another exit that'll go from this floor all the way down out to Harrison Street. One of our problems, obviously, is code issues, exiting fire alarm, fire protection. When we're done, we will meet all current codes for exiting fire alarm, fire protection for this building. Something that we had to do to get a national brand in here, to get a level of hotel, and to make sure that, you know, we all are safe in the building. So it was a big part of it. And this is one just before we started demolition. You can see they painted everything either white or the copper color. So we're bringing it back to the original tones, which were much more tan and much more faux stone on all the colonnades as they went along there. Sorry. And this is, they're starting to set up to take out the chandeliers, which are now gone. And there's the chandelier. They're actually right now taking all the crystal off. They have to map the chandeliers. So they take them down. They take off all the pieces of crystal. They photograph and tag every one of them so they go back in the same place on the same chandelier. The stems have to be rebuilt, but the center section here is all painted wood. It's all carved and painted wood, and then the metal arms come out. The metal arms are shot. They're in bad shape, so the metal arms will be rebuilt. The stem will actually not be repainted. It'll be restored because it's patinaed and it's got the original paintings on it. We want to keep that. And then it'll all be relamped, rewired. And instead of having to go through this process of having, you know, chain lifts and everything else, we're actually put a lift in here so that when we change the bulbs now, we can just lower it and get it back up. Might help it out a little bit for damage and the like on that. This is the elevation on the side of the building. And again, this shows the bridge is gone, the connector that was across here is gone from the 80s, and we're dressing up the 80s a little bit more sympathetic to what the building was in this location. So that's a little bit of an idea of what the building will look like from Onondaga Street when we're completed. And just a little bit about the drawings. We do have all the drawings for this building. They're housed at the New York Historical Society. And through OHA and our partnership with them, we're able to get access to these, get them copied, and then that way we don't have to guess. We pretty much know how this was intended to be built and how we put it back together. And this is another slide of the grand ballroom. And, you know, I say drawings. I mean, I can honestly say that, you know, I used to hand draw like this when I first got out of architectural school. And these are almost pieces of art when you look at them. They're quite amazing drawings in terms of what they've done. A little bit of the economic impact of the old girl when she's back on. Projected sales the first year, $17.8 million. And I think we'll do better than that, and so does our team. They think that's a conservative number. 256 people have jobs. And a good line of that, if you've been following the various things in the paper, we've had different job fairs, both for construction and for permanent jobs. We had close to 1,000 people at our job fair a week and a half ago. And with that, those folks coming out, you know, we're just not turning people away. If they need training, we've partnered with SUNY EOC. We also partnered with some of our other hotels to get people jobs right away because they had openings. And why wait for us if they can get jobs? Then, you know, we should get them to work. So a big part of this and our commitment, and we're doing our best, you know, to walk our talk, is that we're hiring local. We're hiring people that need jobs, and we'll train them. And we'll get them in there. If they're willing to, you know, be good ambassadors for our community, and they're committed, and they want to be part of something like this, then we want them and we want to get them in there. And we think that's probably the biggest thing that we're affecting right now is that line item, is how many people that we'll put to work in this hotel. The other part is the payroll, about 5.5, give or take, depending on what happens. The annual number of events that we're looking at, and this is basically with, you know, I think that's a misnomer. That actually right there is the annual number of people that will be staying at the hotel. So based on our projections, that 93,750 people per year, almost 100,000 people will be from outside the community that will be staying in our rooms. So it affects quite a few. We have annual number of weddings, 250. Annual number of banquet events, that's the people that are attending that, 112,000. So as you can see, you know, we do a considerable amount of people coming and going through this just on a regular basis in any given year. Our grocery bill, which I think will help my Wegmans card a little bit, is $1.8 million, so we have that. And restaurant covers about $68,000. Now, that $68,000 I think is a very low number, given the fact that I looked at historic information, and we have information that goes all the way back to the 30s with this hotel kept in the archives there. At one point, they were close to doing 900,000 covers a year at the hotel in 1948. Pretty amazing the amount of people that use that facility over the years, you know, and have memories and have, you know, fond memories for the most part of it. This is our little rendering of with the Marriott logo being up here in this location, and also another one on the side, and then also the tower on the other side, which we're currently working with the city and that owner and trying to put that deal together. I'd like to not have what we have on the other side when we open. We obviously want this to be a showcase, so it's important for us to do it. So that is my presentation on this. And I guess I'm playing Jeopardy now, and you get to fire questions
yes.
after that.
Thank you, Ed. My own personal history with the hotel goes back only to the 80s and the ill-fated UDAG, or Urban Development Action Grant, that helped to build the expansion. But I have heard Dennis Connors give a full-blown history of the Hotel Syracuse and also the Onondaga Hotel. And I recommend that to anyone also who is interested in the history of the hotels in downtown. It was great.
Last week, my stepdaughter sent me a selfie. She was standing on the roof. She's with Huen Electric, and she was standing next to one of the gargoyles. So could you talk about the gargoyles that are still up on the roof?
Yep, those are the statuettes. I think we've got, if I remember, 14 of them total. And they're coming down. They're actually built in about six different pieces. And over the years, water's gotten into the pieces and, you know, freeze-thaw breaks them apart. So the first one took them about 6 hours to get down off the roof. And those are the ones, as statuettes I was saying, they're about 6 foot tall, and they go about 3,000 pounds. So they took the first one down, got that off, and they also took a second one down the following day. They are being shipped to Long Island, to one of the few contractors that is out of the area. They have a machine, a laser machine, that scans it three-dimensionally, puts it into a computer. Then the computer will build the molds, and they touch it up. The gargoyle is, it's a lion on one side and a horse with the horn out of its head. You guys know, I know. It's missing the horn out of the top of its head. So what they'll do is the computer will actually recreate the horn. It'll touch up 90 years of weathering, and then that'll be cast in FRP, reinforced fiberglass, and then be painted to replicate what was there, and then we'll bring it back up in one piece, put it in place, and then seal it up. So they'll look like they looked back in 1924 when they first went up. But they won't weigh 3,000 pounds, so if they ever fall off, you know, they'll be a little lighter. And they'll also be able to withstand the elements a lot better because the terracotta really broke down pretty quickly and got a lot of water in it. So that's what we're doing. Yep.
Phenomenal. Question right here.
Parking. Would you talk a little bit about parking?
Need it. First thing, we're working with the city of Syracuse and Onondaga County to do a shared parking agreement at the Harrison Street Garage, which is kitty corner from the hotel across Harrison Street at the Warren Street intersection. The Hotel Syracuse Garage is still owned by the development group, whatever that consists of, that tried to take this project on and tried to take the tower on. You know, we've made offers to them. They've been a little unreasonable on that and the amount. The other issue is the Hotel Syracuse Garage was built, again, in the early 80s, and it's in very, very rough shape. So its lifespan's about done. The Harrison Street Garage, which the city owns and controls, is in great shape. It's new. It's much more inviting to our guests. So that's where we will have our parking will be there. Parking for guests that are staying at the hotel will be valet. We're driving valet parking. You drop your car off on Onondaga, East Onondaga. Bring your bags in, or you know, have the porter bring them in, and then the car goes over to valet. It gets parked in that garage. It's secure. We'll have security over there. We'll have a valet office over there. So that's it. If you're parking for an event, that's up to you. You can either use the valet, which we'll have a reduced cost for because we'll control a certain amount of the cost into the garage, or you can self-park over there. It's either or. And guests who want to go in and out during their time and they want to do it themselves, we'll tie in the POS system, point-of-sale system, and the hotel with the garage. So if you swipe your card for your room or use your smartphone, all these locks will be set up for smartphones too, you can get in and out of the garage. It just registers it, so it's seamless in terms of what we're going to do. So that's the parking arrangement and also how we're going to handle cars and getting them around the hotel.
Thank you for a tremendously exciting project and a wonderful presentation. It's a joy.
Thank you very much.
A couple questions. I think I understand now, while the Rainbow Room isn't going to be exactly as it was, will the bars be replaced or not?
Yes. In the Rainbow Lounge, a couple of things. After a little bit of discussion and the like, we found that the original red, purple, and pink, believe it or not, those are the colors, terrazzo floor in the Rainbow Lounge, is still there. And we ground off a lot of different levels of floor that they put on top of it, but the original brass and terrazzo floor is still there. So we're going to restore that repair it where we can. We're going to replicate the Art Deco bar with the mirrors and the neon that went around in the back bar. There you go. So that'll all be in place. So when you walk in, you'll actually see the terrazzo floor, the bar the way it was with the neon and the mirrors, and also on the metal ceiling. They had a metal ceiling in there, so we'll have a similar type of metal ceiling. They don't make that one anymore, but we'll have a similar type. So it'll feel the same, and it'll basically just be the fact that it's not open for drinks if you want to walk off the street.
Let's take this one. The Imperial Ballroom,
yes.
As I recall, the acoustics were terrible. Are we going to be able to do something to make the acoustics better there? I know it will be a very low ceiling, but that's my last question.
Sure. Well, the disco ballroom, as I call it, because that hadn't been touched since disco, let's put it that way. We've already torn out all the lights and everything that's in there. It's all gone. We're actually raising the ceiling as high as we can get it, so it won't be as low as you remember it. There will be some beams that go through there because of the main structural supports, and we also have the air walls, because remember that room divides into thirds, like the air wall you have in back of you here. We have a beam that hangs off of. But above those beams, we're going up to underside of the structure. It'll be an open structure. We're going to paint it out and have some decorative lights that come down, but it'll be much more contemporary, much more modernist feel. Acoustically, we'll be fine. I think the acoustics in the building will be, in that part of the building, will be very good. And also the AV systems that we're putting in are all going to be state-of-the-art. So you'll have all those types of bells and whistles in there, especially in that portion of the building, because that's where we want to have the technology along with the conference center and the IAC meeting spaces.
Will any of the restaurants bring back any of the iconic foods like the angel pie?
Great.
that's a great question. We have, and he's not here today, but we have hired our executive chef. And he is local, and he understands the importance of this asset, and he's ready to go. So, yes, we are looking at old menus. Yes, we're going to bring back not just some of, like, the pie, but there's some interesting cocktails that I saw through the years that I think we want to come back to. It's pretty interesting.
Hi, I'm Pam with Leadership Greater Syracuse. Thank you for hosting us for Envisioning the Future Day a few months ago. We had a tour. It was fabulous. Can you tell us anything about the hottest ticket in town, your opening gala?
Well, OHA is really the driving force on that, and we're working on finalizing the arrangements and getting that all out to make sure that, you know, we're ready and the experience is there. So they'll be putting out, I think, information on their website, and I've already got a couple folks I've given cards to, so if you get it on our list and keep on us, we'll make sure you get an invitation, you know where it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that Dennis, Connors, and Greg Tripoli will keep us up to date on that, too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Talk about the connection to the convention center. How will people get from the hotel to the convention center? Didn't there used to be a tunnel? And is there what's been known about what the expected impact will be on the convention center itself?
Okay. Is there a tunnel? Yeah, there's still a tunnel from the 1960s. I took out inside of the inset, they have these little like trophy cases that go down through there. Most of the posters were 25 or 26 years old, so I'll give you an idea last time it was used. As far as the connection is concerned, there's been a lot made of it. Let me scroll back to the site plan. I think we can get you an idea of that. But our goal on this is not just to dress up around the building as far as the site is concerned, but also to work on the connection to the convention center. We're about a block and a half, to the west of the convention center from the, let's see if I can get the actual site plan. From the hotel, it's about a block and a half walk. So what you're looking at here is, here's our hotel, here's the entrance. The convention center is right here in this location just off of the end of it. So we have this block to walk, and that's what we're looking at basically working with the county and the city to upgrade this entire corridor on a surface way to get there. You can get through the tunnel system. We most likely will clean the tunnel up, but it's a tunnel only going underneath Warren Street. Once you go there, underneath here, then you're in the garage that's below the podium at the exit towers, and then you go into an entrance on the other side into the county's tunnel system that runs down through here. So it's not a great experience, actually just the opposite. We think there's much more potential to just walk down here and walk to the convention center. And I think they're also looking at doing some changes to reorient their entrance more towards our hotel, so you don't have to walk all the way down around the corner to get in. So there's collaboration going on. I know that from our aspect, I've taken it under our consultants to study that whole corridor. We've already done the traffic analysis and to drive the design so that our guest and the experience is first class.
Sounds good. I want to go back to the job fair and first of all say, you know, kudos to you and the Marriott people, whoever did that, for allowing the other hotels to come in. It certainly makes sense. And as you said, you're committed to hiring local and you'll be doing some training. Can you talk a little bit more about that? And Paul, I don't know if you were involved in that. Also, I know you've only been on the ground here for a couple of weeks, but just, you know, what you found, you know, kind of what kinds of positions and what kind of training and how is Marriott involved? You mentioned EOC, but were you surprised by the number of people, first of all, and as far as the level of skills, was it what you expected?
Well, I think from a standpoint of were we surprised at this job fair? No. I think we pretty much knew what the numbers were going to be. The first job fair we had was back in the really in the middle of winter, and we were very surprised at that. I mean, we had about 20, 25 construction positions that we were looking for, and we had over 1,000 people. And it was like 0 degrees and snowing that day. And, you know, the mayor's office called up and said, geez, could you please open the doors early because there's people all the way around Harrison Street waiting to get in. And, you know, that's sobering because there's that many people in our community that want jobs. I mean, to come out on a day like that and to try to get a construction job, that's telling you something. So we had a pretty good idea what we were going to be, you know, faced with the permanent jobs at the hotel. And I think Department of Labor, again, you know, the cooperation between all the different groups here, it has been very humbling to me because I've never been involved in a project where the community and all the resources pulled together so much to make it happen. Department of Labor brought in people from all over the state to interview people, to go through and make sure that everyone that came that applied got touched, that they felt that they had a chance and that they felt they were being listened to, so you got their skills on the table and then matched their skills to a job. Because we had a lot of people that just said all positions. You know, that's not going to work. You need to tell them where they need to focus their resources and where it is. We knew that we were going to have a lot of people that were, you know, very long-term unemployed, had very minimal skill sets, and maybe didn't have soft skills, as we call them. So we committed early on, because one of the things that we've committed throughout the project is to hire a significant amount of our staff from the near north, the near west, and the near south sides of Syracuse. And so we knew that we were going to have some sort of training, so we partnered with SUNY EOC to put people that didn't have a basic skill set or soft skills into their program so they could get those skills. So even if they don't get a job at our hotel, they will now have a soft skill set that they can apply for a job, they can write a resume, they know how to present themselves in an interview, and they know the responsibilities that it entails, that they have to be there, they have to show up and get some discipline. So all those things were in. And a certain amount of our jobs are reserved for those people. So we're not doing it just to say we did it. A certain amount of the positions in the hotel are reserved for those people that come out of that program. I think we were all pleasantly surprised at the amount of talent that came to that job fair and sat down and said, we want to be a part of this hotel. Some working in other places, some that used to work at the hotel that want to come back, and some that just said to me, look, I'm doing something else right now. And I was there with Paul, you know, the two of us interviewed. And, you know, some people just sat there and said, look, this is a great project. It's a great part of the community. I just want to be part of it. What can I do? You know, and that speaks volumes of really the project and the community and their support behind it. So we were very favorably impressed. Now, next steps on that, SUNY EOC has already started to implement the training. So nothing really happens until we get the training done and we get those people back to us to go through a more formal process. Some of the more skilled positions that we need to have to fill in, the line managers and the like, we'll start to interview those now. And where they're qualified and where we think that they're going to add value immediately, we'll bring them on. And then they can assist in training the rest of the staff. The really big amount of employment and training will start after the first of the year. And that's when we'll bring in a lot of the, you know, housekeepers and, you know, the food and beverage staff, et cetera, and start to put them in place. And we'll train them both, you know, on how Marriott wants to do things, because we're a franchised Marriott hotel, but we'll also train them in the way we want the old Hotel Syracuse to do things. So a little bit different.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Ed Riley. Welcome to the community, Paul McNeil. Thanks, David Holder.